My father-in-law used to tell me about a great rabbi who was the Rosh Yeshiva and really the founder of the Yeshiva Shar Yashuv in New York, Rosh Shlomo Freifeld. Rosh Shlomo Freifeld passed away in 1990. He used to tell me all the time that he was probably the most influential figure in his life, that really made him frum and that really made him decide that, you know, frumkeit was something real. And he always said that Rav Freifeld just had this way of speaking to everyone. Now, if you've ever read anything about Rav Freifeld, he had unbelievable feats, just little feats of what he used to do, where he would speak to people on their level, no matter where they were coming from, and he was poised. He knew things. He wasn't just that rabbi that you pictured him as when you looked at him. He wasn't just like that. So Rav Freifeld was asked to speak at a more modern dinner in Canada. And I should quote beforehand that I heard this story from Rabbi Zev Cohn at Shalosh Shabbos this past week. I was floored by it, and I read it. I read the book that he got it from. It was written by Yisroel Besser, works for Mishpacha magazine. So I read it in there. So it goes like this. See, normally this group that got together, they had civic leaders that spoke, or government officials, or leaders in Israel, things like that. That's the normal type of people they had at this dinner. So when they saw Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld being called up to speak, and they saw a bigger man, who Freifeld was a big guy, and with a long gray beard and a frock and a big hat, it was the last thing they expected. The last thing they expected to speak in front of them. They were shocked. They were all silent, and a complete silence just went throughout the entire crowd. And he started, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," in a booming voice. He almost didn't need a microphone. Even if speaking in front of 1,000 people, he could really let his voice be heard. "Ladies and gentlemen, just a few years ago, one of the most successful shows on Broadway was the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical entitled South Pacific. So I did my research. South Pacific was a Broadway show that premiered in 1949. It ran for 1,925 performances, which is one of the longest of all time. I read a little bit about the play. Nothing kosher or kadosh or anything. There was nothing good about it at all. And there was a lot of racism and things like that. There were disgust in this play. It's a famous play. It was revived 3 or 4 times, and the last one was in 2008, one before 1988 era. But I would assume that Rav Freifeld is giving this speech sometime in the 70s or the 60s, around that time when this play was a little bit well known and the people were there. Now, Rav Freifeld had impeccable English. His command of the English language was amazing, and he had passion when he spoke. So every time he spoke, you could feel it. It was within him. The audience was not expecting this at all. They were expecting him to get up there and start speaking in Yiddish. Sat there spellbound, and they were shocked as he just went on. Said, "Allow me to share a story with you about a couple from a small town in Tennessee. It was their first visit to New York City. Now, the husband was a civic leader back home in Tennessee. He was the president of the local Kiwanis and Rotary Club." You can bet that I looked those up as well. They're clubs. They're like JCC's stuff and, you know, things like that. Members quite well respected in his own hometown in Tennessee. He's involved in local politics, he's very cultured, and considers himself quite a prominent citizen. Okay? For weeks before his trip to New York, he had boasted to all of his fellow citizens how he was going to enjoy the famous musical South Pacific on Broadway, that he had already planned on going there. When asked, "Do you have tickets?" And he said, "No." They said, "We highly doubt you're going to be able to see it. The show has been sold out for weeks. There will not be any tickets left for you when you get to New York City." But he assured them, as a civic leader, as a VIP going to New York, he has no question that he'll be able to make sure that he gets to see the play. So when they do get to the big city, the couple goes to the theater office as soon as they got inside, and they said, we'd like to purchase tickets. So the girl who was in the booth regretfully informed them, but of course it was New York, so probably with a little bit of a hint of a smile, informed them that the show is completely sold out and has been sold out for a couple months now. So there's no way that you can get tickets for the upcoming performance. The guy begins to argue with her, explaining how important he is back home, and listing off all his credentials. She is unimpressed. "This is New York City," she says. "All your achievements mean absolutely nothing to us here. There are no tickets left. You have no way of getting in." So the guy did not want to give up. The next evening, the couple comes again. They plead for two tickets anywhere in the theater. Put it anywhere. We don't care where you are. We will go standing room only. We just want to see the play. That's all we want. Again, they are informed that there are absolutely no tickets left, no seats. The show is completely sold out for the next couple months. There's nothing you can do, and we're sorry, but we don't have any seats left. They refused to be dissuaded. At the time, I guess there was no way of getting tickets online, so there was no way for them to do that stuff, or, I don't know, anybody else, StubHub or anything like that. So, but they refused. Every night, they show up, they sit there, they beg for admittance every single night, every single evening without fail. They go, and they are turned down. They said, there's nothing left, there's nothing you can do, we're really sorry. Finally, it's the last night of their trip. They decide to try their luck one last time. So they're desperate. How can they return home and see the faces of all their friends without seeing the show? What are they going to tell their friends? What are we going to say to everybody? Everybody's going to ask us, did you see the show? How was the show? You're such a VIP. I'm sure you got in. What are we going to tell them? But they're refused once again. Once again, nothing left. They're heartbroken. They don't know what to do. Suddenly, the wife has an epiphany. A tremendous idea pops up in her head, and she says to her husband, you know, we're not going to be able to see the show. That we won't be able to do. But if we wait out here until the show is over, we could get two people to give us their stubs of the tickets, the already used stubs. We'll be able to bring those stubs back home, and no one will be the wiser. We'll tell them we got to the show, we have the stubs to prove that we were at the show, and thus we can tell them that we must have attended. Our friends will never know any better. Brother Freifeld finished the story, looked up at his enthralled audience, everybody that was there, and said, my dear friends, you are all wonderful people. You are committed. You are eager to help the Jewish people, and you're eager to help Jewish causes, and you have so much to offer. I ask for one thing, Rabbi Freifeld ended with his speech. Don't walk away with just the ticket stubs in your hands without ever having seen the show. That is an awesome lesson and really defines Rabbi Freifeld's methodology throughout life. You have so much to see. You have so much to do. And it's one thing to go up at the end of 120 and show the ticket stubs. I got through life. I finished it up. I did what I needed to do. I did everything. You asked me to go to Shacharis Minchan Maariv every day. I went to Shacharis Minchan Maariv every single day. You asked me to learn a little bit. I learned a little bit. You asked me to be honest in business. I was honest in business. Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at this. I got the ticket stubs. I'm ready to go. Send me in. That doesn't go. It's New York City. You don't get in with just ticket stubs. You don't get in with just a little bit of everything. The way to be able to go, what's life all about, guys? Is life about being Yotze Zayin? Just, you finish what you got to do, and you did everything you were supposed to do, and that's that? Is that what life is all about? It's like a little bit more than that. About actually enjoying your time here, and not saying to myself, alright, but I got to learn. But I got to daven. But I got to keep yomtiv. It's not like that. See, we're coming up to Pesach, and the famous line that everybody always says is the wives, the mothers, everybody like that, they're the ones who have the hardest time on Pesach, because it's just all about cleaning, and then cooking, and then cleaning, and then cooking, and cleaning, and then cooking, and then maybe when Pesach night comes along and the Seder's there, they're so exhausted, there's nothing left for them. Nothing left. So the mother falls asleep at the table, her oldest daughter falls asleep at the table, and there's nothing there. And that's not what Pesach is all about. It is from slavery to freedom. I guess that is, in theory, they got their own Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim with a Haggadah right there that they just lived through Avdus L'Chairus, and I can hear that somewhat. But it's not all about just going through the motions and understanding that this is what I have to do. I ate a little bit of matzah, I ate a little bit of mar, I drank four cups of wine. It's not about that. It's about, what are you doing? What is life? See, we're finally getting through this winter. Finally, there's only a tiny little bit of snow left out there. And still, every morning, it's trying to come back. And we're like, no. Sun comes back out and gets rid of the snow within a couple hours. To the point where those people who don't get up for showers don't even believe that it's snowing outside. And we're done. The winter is over. It's finally time where it's going to be 68 degrees by the end of next week, according to weather.com. It's going to happen. We're going to have our smiles back on our face. The sun is shining to the point where we have to close the curtains. These are good things. This is good. It's not just that we're closing the curtains because we're depressed. We're closing the curtains because we're trying to keep the sun out, except for that one. I don't know why that one's closed. It's better this way. See, this is the time when we can start looking at ourselves and saying, let's forget about how terrible this past winter was. Not about how your Zman was, of course. It was the best Zman ever. But about how terrible the weather outside was, how freezing cold you were, how upset it was, because that's what things are like in the winter. You can't see clearly what's going on because there's no sun, there's not that much daytime outside, and it just seems very discombobulated. Just everything off. Don't let it be that way. We're now in spring. We're getting to summer. Let's start enjoying where we are. Start thinking about what we're doing. Why? Why am I getting up for chakras? Is it just because I'm making you? Well, clearly not, because 9 people slept through chakras this morning in the dorm, which is impressive. How many guys are there? 10? That's right there. Why are we getting up? What's chakras all about? Why are we doing it? Why are we going to Mincha? Why are we diving to a Kaddish Baruch Hu 3 times a day? Why am I sitting in Seder? What am I not enjoying about it? And what can I do to make myself enjoy it? What can I do to be able to get myself there to the point where I do enjoy it? I want to be there. I want to wake up in the morning and be around the whole time. What can I do? What can possibly be done? We only have 2 weeks left. 2 weeks before vacation? I mean, this is it. 2 weeks from now, we're out. We're going to be learning a week later than every other yeshiva guy out there. Ches Nisan. Doesn't get much better than that. Ches Nisan. We're going, except for maybe one person. Ches Nisan. We're all going. Oh, why you? Don't get me started. I'm on tape. So we're going to Ches Nisan. God, if we have until Ches Nisan, we have an extra 8 days that's beyond everybody else. So let's take advantage. Let's take advantage. It's not next week that we're out. It's not Monday. It's not that. And that's it. We have until the next week. Let's work on ourselves. Let's decide where we're going to go. Let's decide what we're going to do. So that when Pesach vacation comes in, it's not like all of a sudden, thank God I can throw that yoke off my back. I can decide that now I can go to a 9:30 chakras at my own little kotel, and then I'll daven mincha when I have the chance, and I'll daven marav when I get the chance, if I can be there, and I'll learn, well, whatever, whenever I find time to learn. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the point where you can't live without learning, because you can't live without life, without that type of simcha. Bring it, bring it, bring it now for the next 2 weeks. Bring everything you have. Put everything into it. Allow yourself to be happy, happy, really happy. To have that smile on your face when you come in the morning, that it's not just, I have to be here, but I want to be here. I want to be around. I want to learn. I want to do something. I'm telling you, I can't describe to you what that story was like. Rabbi Cohn used it for a completely different idea, and he gave a couple other stories with it. I sat there and I heard that story, and all I was thinking about is, of course, I could just show the stubs to everybody. I could show everybody all the little things, this and that and the other that I've done, and try to make everybody happy, and try to make my hometown proud of me in that. But what do I really want? What does that do for me? I didn't get to see the South Pacific. I wanted so badly to see South Pacific. I'm sure it was an unbelievable Broadway show with no Coley show or Arias whatsoever. Positive that it was only in the most Kaddish form. It's what do you want? What do you want to do to get there? Make that decision and decide for you. On a more global note, you only have so much time left in yeshiva. For those that are going out after this year, you don't have that much time left. For those that are going to be here until next year, you still don't have that much time left. You have, at best, everybody here, a year, what, 2 years, 3 years left in yeshiva? At the most? At the most. Decide what you want. You're going to be out. And then what? And hopefully, you'll be able to be in a different yeshiva. And and hopefully you'll be sitting and be able to learn for the rest of your life, and hopefully Mashiach will be here tomorrow, and then I'm sure we have problems, but different types of issues that we have to deal with, and then it'll be something much, much better, where all of us will be able to know exactly what our tachlis is in life, what our tafkid is, and we'll all do exactly what we're supposed to do, and we'll be happy, without any question. But if he doesn't, and if you aren't able to stay in yeshiva for the rest of your life, then get yourself prepared now. What am I doing for when I can't be learning for 7, 8, 9 hours a day? What am I going to do when I get to that situation? Think about it, consider it, and be happy. Ashrecha Yisrael. There's nobody like us. There's nobody that has the opportunities, everything that's open in front of us. So allow yourselves to just indulge in a little bit of passion when it comes to your learning. A little bit. To try to finish something. To try to do something you've never done. To feel like this actually means something for you. If you get it, you'll know exactly what I mean. If you get to that point, if you feel it, you'll know exactly what I mean. And if you don't, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But there should be a point where you get there, and I hope you get there. Because until then, you can't describe it to other people. Getting into a sugya, or understanding something, or being able to memorize something that you never were able to do before. You cannot describe that feeling, that euphoria, to other people. You just can't do it. It's just something that's there, something that's special. Take advantage of everything now. Be happy with what you have now. I'm not gonna blast everybody like Eddie just told me to do. That's not my way, not at all. I feel like you may not have been trying as hard or been going into your maybe not doing as much besimcha as you possibly could. You can. You definitely, definitely can. And I'm asking you to be a little bit more besameach. Just a little bit more. Put your simcha into things. Pretend that you're drunk every day like it's on Purim. Or if you're under 21, pretend like you drink a lot of grape juice. Just make yourself a little bit happier. Okay, get yourselves ready for this. I want these 2 weeks to be meaningful. I want these 2 weeks to actually do something. And I want it to be out there because you're learning. Not because of outside stuff, because of your learning. Feel like you have something in front of you and just do it. You should be zilcha, guys. You should only have a good 2 weeks.